Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
You have just tuned in to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. Welcome to 3GT, and we're glad you're here. This is Barry York, along with my co-host, Scott Hunt, a lawyer and elder from Marion, Indiana, and Kyle Borg, a pastor in Winchester, Kansas. And so we're glad that you have joined us today. Guys, I thought I'd start off by just bringing up something, and maybe this will help some of our listeners, but actually, a listener told me recently that they had a hard time distinguishing between your two voices.
Yeah, I could believe. I believe it.
Okay, so wait. So,
state your name
and then say something so people know what is which.
My name's Kyle, and most often I get confused with Barry White.
Oh,
this is Scott. And Kyle actually gets confused with Tobias Funke.
I don't even know what that means.
Don't you remember?
I remember. I'm just trying to play ignorant. So from now on, this is Kyle. I'm going to identify myself before I say anything.
Do you guys think that your voices
Scott,
sound
and
the
I
same?
I will not.
Do you think your voices sound the same? I've never thought that before. I thought it was an
interesting part. Manly, kind of Midwest. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it must be the Midwest.
I don't know.
This is Kyle. Is that what you think, Scott?
I can't. I don't think we sound alike, but I could see how that could happen, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, hopefully this has helped our listeners identify which is which. Well,
Kyle's the one that has important and grand things to say, and I'm the one that just chimes in every now and again.
This is Kyle. This is Kyle, and I agree with that.
All right. Well, what we want to discuss today, guys, is the predominance on the internet of groups, and particularly in the Reformed world, there's lots of different forums and blogs, and of course, podcasts like this one. And in many ways, it's a blessing to the world. We are given these means to communicate to people the truths of God's word and have discussions regarding them. And so, what are some of the tools that you use on the internet? Like, what are there particular forums you like to go to, other podcasts you like to listen to, blogs, those types of things? Do you guys make much use of the internet yourself? You're on it with this, at least with this podcast. Kyle and you and I blog over at General Reformation together with some others. But do you guys actually frequent other sites as well?
This is Kyle. The Daily Scooper is the podcast I listen to every day. Scott, go ahead. You can go first.
I can't.
You know, it is a little funny. So we joke about the number of podcasts or social media things I'm involved in. I do not frequent that much. So when it comes to reading blogs, even can I admit this, Barry? I don't read every article that's posted on Gentle Reformation, even though I'm a co-author. And though I love doing podcasting, there are very few podcasts that I listen to. I am involved, and involved is kind of a loose term, but I'm a member of some Facebook groups relative to Reformed theology. I don't know that I would say I enjoy going to those. I do go and I interact every now and then, but as far as that goes, and there's no real, I check Tim Challies out maybe three times a week just to see what some of the articles that he might be highlighting and browse through those. But I don't do a ton online.
Yeah. And this is Scott. what I'm going to say is not nearly as profound or insightful as what you just heard from Kyle.
It never is. This is Kyle.
This might come as a shock to you, especially Kyle. I don't find myself going online and looking in groups and involving myself and chat on MySpace or
MySpace. I remember that. That came out shortly after ICQ. Good work, Scott.
Yeah, that was kind of funny, wasn't it?
It was.
But I don't. I'll read articles every now and again. I do, what I enjoy doing is going online and watching videos of
on TikTok. You go to TikTok, Scott?
No, not those kind of videos. You know, like RC Sproul. Or Ligonier videos, those kind of things. And every now and again, I like going to YouTube and watching funny videos, but they have no theological significance. You know, kittens can be cute when they're falling downstairs.
Yeah.
Those
and
kind of videos.
Twirling through the air.
Well, but no, I don't get involved in Facebook groups or any kind of those things.
Why not, Scott? That's an honest question. Like, is that kind of a generational thing? Do you just view that as a complete and total waste of time?
No, it is not a generational thing. I don't have time. We were joking before we started recording, you know, I have 24 hours in the day and I don't have that, the kind of time it would take to be involved in a group like that. But secondarily, I have found that those kind of groups and what gets said here, and I think we'll probably talk about this, it's not so much with dialogue. It is just tooting your own horn, screaming the loudest, I suppose, as you can on the screen, and then just ignoring everything else. It's not really helpful to learn. It's not helpful for debate. It's not helpful for anything other than to just put your opinion out there and ridicule people is ultimately what I've seen, not just in Reformed. I'm just in general, online posting not blogs, but groups like that, in my experience, they just go down this trail of just not being helpful. So I'm not going to spend my time, my valuable time. It's the only absolutely scarce source that we have, according to von Mises, that I'm not going to waste my time doing something that's not productive.
Well, there we go. I think that was the whole episode. I appreciate that. I'm sure we'll be looking more into that. One thing that I would say, Barry, and maybe I should have said it first, there was a time in my life where I lived for some of these groups. And so, especially in my college years, and as a newlywed man, I would often, all exaggeration aside, I'd stay up half the night, if not the whole night, just debating and arguing people on these types of Facebook forums. My involvement nowadays is for a very different purpose and end. And in fact, my wife had to confront me probably in the first year or two of marriage and just say, like, this is a complete waste of your time. Like, somebody on the internet is wrong and you feel that you are, she just said, it's so arrogant. You are kind of assuming that you're God's agent for change here. You need to get offline and spend more time with me and building our marriage and home. And I received it. So I used to be very, very much into these.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find my experience is the same. I'm really not involved in a lot of groups. I am involved in one group where it's our ministers in our denomination. And I find that helpful just to see what guys are thinking about or questions that they raise. And occasionally maybe I'll answer or comment on something. I'm not a internet debater. So even when I blog and someone responds with a comment and, you know, I may answer once, but that's sort of my rule. I don't get into debate online because I just don't find that that's the right medium for the type of discussions that I often see people at least trying to carry on Facebook or other social mediums. And I know there's all kinds of groups out there. Of course, there's this group, the Geneva Commons, that's been really in the news almost lately because of some things that were going on there and some offenses, it sounds like, that were raised. We have places like the Reform Pub, some of these alliances like the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals or the Gospel Coalition. They also have groups that function out there in different capacities. And so I'm hearing you guys saying that you don't really participate too widely in those things. And I guess my question is, why not? Do you think these groups have value? And if so, what is the value? What are the precautions that we should be exercising if we're participating in these? So just respond to that a little bit.
I would say, do they have value groups? I could see a real value in having a group of pastors, even the reform pub type of thing. There can be a benefit to community, camaraderie, sharing ideas, bouncing ideas off of other people. So there can be some real value in this. My experience has just been that it takes a turn at some point and becomes a place of debate, like Kyle said, and everybody just wants to debate. And I don't, I'm sure back in the day it would have been chat rooms back in the day, but I would have done the same thing. And Kyle, because I've asked myself this question, how many people's minds do you think you actually changed?
Everyone's.
Yeah.
Everybody bows to my logic and arguments quicker than the municipal judge. Oh, my bad. So I think, I think that's a very worthwhile question, Scott, is how many people are you actually persuading, right? Christianity's not above the grace and the art of persuasion. We want to persuade men concerning the things that we believe, but we do need to very seriously consider the means and the methods that we do that. As far as the value of groups like this, one of the reasons back in the day, I can say that now because we're talking like 15, 16 years ago. One of the reasons back in the day that I initially was kind of drawn into these is really the lack of personal community. So I was at a university in Wisconsin. I was, until I met my wife, I was the only Reformed-ish, Calvinistic person I knew in my entire university community. And I stumbled upon Facebook. Facebook was new then and it was recently being launched, but I suddenly began to be able to be networked and connected to people who were either asking some of the same questions I was or were coming to the same convictions. And for its place in my life, at first it was kind of like, well, this is kind of nice. Here I am in this university setting and I have no like-minded people, but oh, there are people out in the world like this. And I could see a place, I could see a little value to something like that. But like Scott said, I think it very quickly deteriorates. I think it's often used for wrong and bad ends. I think that it can very easily eclipse the community that matters most. And so I think there's just, maybe Barry will want me to elaborate, but I just think there's all kinds of cautions that need to be thrown up when in getting involved in things like this.
Mm-hmm. There was the book a while back by Marshall McLuhan, Understanding Media, where the phrase was coined, the medium is the message. And I think a lot of times people aren't aware enough of how they think that they're using the media to influence them, to influence others, and they don't realize how much it's actually influencing them. And I think one of the things that I've noticed, and of course I, at a seminary, I work with a lot of young men, and you guys were talking about being younger and the things you did when you were younger, you might not do now. And I tend to see that in not everyone, but in a lot of young men, that they're drawn to theological discussion and debate, and they go online, and it seems like this animal gets released in some ways within them, because when you're online, there's a even if your name's known or everybody knows who it is that's writing it, there's still this step of anonymity. An inability, I think, to really see or think about the person on the other end or the people on the other end that you're interacting with and writing to. And so it just seems like often the discussions that would take place online tend to be far more elevated and heated than I think if those same people, I took them and I put them all in the same room with them. It doesn't mean that there wouldn't be, depends on who you put in the room, but I do think that you would notice a different candor if they were actually together with one another. And so I think a lot of people aren't realizing how much the media, social media in particular, is impacting them. And so run with that a little bit. Have you experienced that? And what should we be, what is proper to be debating online, for instance, if are we supposed to be having hefty theological discussions on a Facebook group in the comment section? Is that profitable? It could sound like I'm just making fun of it, but is there an actual argument against doing that, that's actually harmful rather than helpful?
So I do think, to piggyback a little bit on what you said, and then to get more into that question, the whole different candor, it's not just heated, is what I notice. It is also just tremendous insensitivity. So for example, I was lurking on one of these groups just the other day, and this woman asked a very sensitive question about infertility and what, as Christians, what is a proper response to that? And I was heartbroken to see the way people interacted with her. They weren't necessarily angry, but at the same time, it seemed to me, here's a bunch of people who have never walked through infertility face to face with a woman and understand the heartache, the pain, the difficulties, the stewardship that is. And for them, they approach it like this ivory tower. And it's like, come on, you guys, there's a real person behind this question with a real marriage and real struggles with a real desire. And I use that as the example because she later went back and updated some of what she had said and kind of pointed out the fact that people are not really approaching this the way that I thought they would. And part of me,
what way would you say that is, Kyle? Like, give some examples. What were the respondents actually doing?
So I think some of what the respondents were doing is one, they were treating it like a black and white issue, which people who actually have to wade into biblical ethics in a pastoral situation. I'm not saying everything's gray and we're a bunch of relativists, but there are a number of things that need to be considered when you're dealing with a question like this. Two, there is this failure to be sensitive to the situation. I'm going to take this hard line. God, one of the examples I saw is God clearly expects marriage to yield children. If your marriage doesn't do that, you don't get to have children. Mm. And somebody said, well, what about adoption? And then suddenly the person starts backtracking. Well, I didn't really mean how hard I came off. But, it's just things like that. And just going, think about the consequences of what you're saying here. This is one thing, and it's because I had to preach this to myself so much. So many of the questions people have are not ivory tower. As a seminary student, it's so easy. As a guy who loves his nose in a book, it is so easy to think ivory tower, ivory tower, ivory tower. No, there's real issues behind this. And I think so that, the whole candor is not just the heated polemics. It's also just this inability. It's striking to me. The Apostle John comes to the end of 2 John, and he says, I have other things I want to say to you, but I'm not going to do it with paper, and I'm not going to do it with pen. I'm going to wait till we're face to face. Because John realizes what so many of us don't realize, there are some things that are more appropriate in the context of face-to-face interactions. And I think when we live our lives in these media forums, the media really does impact the message. John knows that, which is why John says, I'm not going to write to you about this. And so that's some thoughts.
So
Scott wants to go on more.
Yeah, and this is Scott. That was Kyle. What I don't think Kyle and I are saying, and I don't think you would say this either, Barry, is we're not opposed to vigorous debate. We're not opposed to theological disagreements and heated theological disagreements. But there is something fundamentally different between sitting across a table from somebody and having these debates and knowing that this is a person and they have real issues in their life. And there's a backstory to the questions being asked. And oftentimes, if you're in close proximity with a person, you're having this heated debate in person, those things. And so you take those things into account when you make your arguments or bring up different points. That context of a discussion, and I think, Kyle, you brought this up quite well, the context of the discussion is lost when it's online. When it's a two-dimensional discussion, there is no context. I mean, I don't know this woman who is infertile, but it's so easy to pass judgment on a screen and words on a screen. But when you're looking at flesh and blood, the image of our Creator, it is a lot more difficult to be that callous. And so I don't want any listeners to think that I disapprove of debate or hard debate or having to speak a hard word to somebody.
You're a lawyer. Who thinks that of you?
Well, thank you. I'm just trying to justify myself here.
There you go.
You should be in a session meeting with this guy, man. You're glad to come out alive, Kyle.
Oh, that is not completely true at all. Barry, I sat quiet probably most of the session meetings that we were in together.
You didn't say anything doesn't mean you weren't thinking it, Scott. Well,
Scott is not pugnacious.
But often. But my point is, just because we think there's a proper form or there's an improper form for what goes on, it doesn't mean that we're opposed to the idea that there should be healthy debate and there should be taking stands on theological issues and there should be speaking into people's lives. But it's a lot different when you're face to face.
I was talking recently with another seminary president, and we were talking about the difficulty created by the coronavirus and having students back on campus and those types of things. And we were just talking about how, you know, you can't properly form seminary students into pastors just by content transmission online, that there's just so much that takes place in person and having presence with people, seeing them, as you're both referencing, face-to-face and seeing all the different communications that come when you're actually looking at someone and you're actually in the same room with them, having dialogue outside just the debate, like to have a knowledge of someone that's not just the particular point that you're debating or discussing, but you actually know that person. And so those things are so important. I think Corona has exacerbated this problem. It seems like to me, we're just hearing more and more of controversies and things online of exploding and that type of thing. And so what do we do? Like what would you counsel people that might be willing to listen to us? when is it okay to type something online and enter into debates and discussions? And or when is it time to just say enough's enough or to try to go and talk to someone? I've had someone say, for instance, there was a blog article and someone else wrote a response against that blog article. And people have accused the second author of not practicing Matthew 18 because they didn't go in private to that person before they wrote publicly. So I think there's a lot of confusion out there about how to handle ourselves and theological dialogue. And just what are some principles perhaps we could offer?
So I would say, first and foremost, context matters, that biblically speaking, we are to grow into maturity in the context of the local church. So whatever arguments we might have about commas or understanding some of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is very clear about that, that we come to the fullness of unity and the maturity, the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ together in the body of Christ. And when Paul's writing that to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4, I don't think that they had in their mind some ambiguous general, oh, the body of Christ, I'm part of this universal body, because he opens the letter to the saints in Ephesus. Paul understands that it is in that context in which we are intended to form theological convictions, to grow to maturity, to be steadfast, to not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Mm-hmm. So one, if you don't have that, get offline. You know, if you don't have that to fall back on, you're putting the cart before the horse. So this has to be subservient to that. Another thing that I would say is I'm not even opposed to some discussions on online. You know, I engage in some of them on the Reformed Pub, for instance. But one of the biggest pieces of advice I would give, and again, this is just a piece of advice I have to give myself all the time, don't respond to people in ignorance. It's very easy to want to toot your own horn and act like you're a resident expert. You know, that's one of the shocking things about some of these groups is they have their gurus who probably couldn't pass a theology exam if their lives depended on it. And yet in these groups, they're really hailed as, oh, wow, you know, look how smart they are. When this person speaks, it's fairly definitive. there's a lot of ignorance that gets spouted off in groups like this. And when you call that ignorance out, it's fascinating to watch what happens. But if you're going to engage in the discussions, don't talk about things you don't know anything about. You know, I remember as a young man, that's a place where I got soundly rebuked once. And it was handed to me and I deserved it. And it was a very humbling experience. And so those are just some of the counsel or things that I'd be directing. And then, you know, if you're reading and you're engaging with people, so that's kind of the active side. The passive side is to be careful with everything that you hear, to weigh it carefully. You know, I my heart breaks for some of these people who ask genuine questions and they get the cantankerous responses. At the same time, they're not helpless victims. They chose this medium by which to ask their life-altering questions. And I just want to be like, don't do that. You know, go to those who are going to shepherd you and care for you and love you. Go to those who are going to walk through these things with you, not just those who can rattle off an answer and then sign out and leave you be. So,
yeah, I think, Kyle, you mentioned the ignorance that is found in these, you know, these kind of communities and when debates happen. And that's my biggest fear is some of these people are ignorant and they don't even know it. You know, Kyle, you said you got rebuked and it was good for you. I do think there's probably times that it would be worthwhile to point that out to people who are spouting off in ignorance. But that's my biggest issue with interacting with groups in that setting is that sometimes when somebody just doesn't know something, it doesn't matter what you try to tell them or explain to them, they're not gonna get it. And so there's not the personal relationship there that you can walk with them. You know, it might be fun to kind of poke at the bear a little bit. I'm sure Kyle, you're probably pretty good at that online. But you know, short of that, you know, it's just so hard to have any lasting impact in these kind of situations. And I do feel, I guess I would take a little bit different approach. You know, Kyle, you said you feel bad or you don't feel bad for some of these people who put it out there, you know, these life-changing questions or these deep issues that people are having. I mean, I hurt for them because they haven't been told and they don't have a place to go. I mean, oftentimes they don't have a relationship with their pastor or with their elders to go and ask these deep, deeply personal questions. And so they go online and I suppose it's the promise of anonymity that might draw them in. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't have a relationship with your pastor and your elders such that you can go to them with these very difficult questions, then you need to reevaluate that and you need to develop that because you're never going to have that kind of relationship online. It's just not there. The love, the compassion, the correction that's needed, that's not going to take place online. And so I feel bad for the people who do that because they don't have what Christ has promised in his church.
Yeah. And I think too, Scott, with that, you mentioned the word correction. And I would say the need for accountability, you know, in our denomination, every member covenants that should they need to be corrected in life or in doctrine, they will submit to the discipline of the church. And part of what I think that means is we live our life, we form our doctrine in the community we have covenanted with, so that when we need the accountability, when we need to be called to task, you know, when we need either a gentle or a hard word of correction, we've done that in the context of the community we're covenanted to. And I think that's, you know, Facebook gives you this certain anonymity to spout off whatever ignorant doctrine you want, and there's no real mechanism for accountability there unless you've got a pastor and elders who are, and man, I don't know who has time for that, but to be searching through all of that. Like, live your life in the community, in the context where God has placed you so that you can be held accountable, because that's what we want, right? If I'm going wrong in my doctrine, I want to be held accountable. I want to watch my life and my doctrine carefully. And so what does that mean? That means I need to shape and fashion and develop those things in the context of the community I'm going to be held accountable by. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the social media and the internet does. It gives us this sense of autonomy. Like I can just go and do all these things out there, say all these things out there. And it removes a sense, I think, of people thinking about that they're accountable for their actions. And so it's almost like theology. It just becomes this democracy. Like we're just going to be able to all go out there and say whatever we want and get away with it. And I do think it's so important for our elders, pastors and elders to be monitoring it to a degree. I mean, obviously we're not to be lurking or spying on all our congregants, but I remember when I got on Facebook originally way back when, it was in large part just to see what the youth of the church were doing. And I remember just being shocked, like some of these young people saying things online that I know they would never say at church or at a fellowship lunch, but online they were saying these things and helping them to understand that some old guy was at least seeing what they were doing. It put some awareness in them. And so I do think we have a responsibility to be aware, to regularly be talking to our congregation about the importance of having a faithful witness, not only in the flesh, but virtually, but then also at the very same time, reminding them that they're not just virtual people themselves or others out there, but they're flesh and blood people. And they need to really prioritize being together with people and interacting with people. Even, you know, even this podcast, I mean, it's different than if the three of us were just online typing away, you know, shooting salvos across the internet at each other. It's just different. We're actually looking at one another. We're having a conversation with one another. And it's a way that we just enjoy fellowship with one another, invite our listeners into it. And so even this podcast is a little different than I think when we get on these forums and we're filling comment sections with paragraphs and paragraphs of argumentation. It just isn't, that's not the place for that type of activity. We're getting close to the end. Are there any other things you want to respond to?
I'm glad, Barry, that you do this for the enjoyment. I only do this podcast for the money. I just needed a side income.
Yeah, we're getting real rich.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just, to reiterate, you know, I don't want to sound like a bunch of cantankerous old men. You know, the youngest of us is almost 38 years old. That's not the goal of this. I think the
goal is...
I
get called grandpa sometime.
I like that. That fits very well. That's going to be my new name for you. When you get on the floor of Synod to talk, I'm just going to start yelling and chanting your name. But I, you know, so we're not doing this to be cantankerous. I think take it as men who, you know, I'm a pastor. Scott's been a ruling elder for years. Barry's been a pastor and a president of a seminary. Hopefully, these are just worthwhile observations to say there's some red flags here, and you really need to slow down and you need to think about these things. You need to think about, you know, you need to think about the medium to the message. You need to think about the context. You need to think about the biblical priorities, and you need to learn. You need to learn at times when to shut your mouth. That was and is the hardest lesson for me to learn in life. When do I just need to be silent? And I think that's important in this discussion.
Yeah. I've said it. I'm sure people get tired of hearing me say this, but it involves wisdom. I've gone to that time and time again, but it takes wisdom to know when to speak and when to be quiet, like Kyle said, when to type out a response and when to just let something, you know, just go away into the netherworld of the internet. It takes wisdom. And so I think until you have at least some biblical wisdom and some foundation for that, I don't think it's safe to go online and start engaging in these kind of communities. It's really quite dangerous. And I have seen men's souls imperiled by getting involved in these online communities. They come to church, they hear one thing, they get online and they hear something else. And it just creates turmoil in their life. So seek wisdom. And you do that by talking to old cantankerous men. They have some great advice because they've gone through it, right? I mean, Kyle, I'm sure no young man wants to go through what you had to go through with your wife, having to tell you that you need to be a better man.
Thanks for throwing that in my face, Scott. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, look,
I did not mean to steal away from you. You know, I don't want people to have to go through that
right.
with their wife. I had a seminary professor strongly rebuke me for my online behavior. And he said, if there was a class in this seminary on how to be a jerk online, you'd be top of the class. Like that cut me, like that hurt. Like it was so needed. I got this father-like spanking and it hurt, but it was life-changing. Like I said, I also had somebody else once when I was spouting off ignorance, just call me to the carpet for it. And it was humiliating as well as humbling.
But it was beneficial, right? And you can share that experience with young people. So you can be an old cantankerous man in a cardigan sweater, if you'd like. I have one you can borrow. And you can tell people, the experiences that you've had to try to save them from some of the heartache. Now, it did cause you to grow, but there was, I'm sure, a heartache involved too.
Well, I'm sure there was. And I was just with a group of young people this weekend speaking at a conference. And, we're talking about seminary students or young men, but even down to our youth, we need to really think about how this is all influencing them as well as their identities being formed or challenged as they get online and hear the worldly philosophies that are out there. And that's probably a whole nother episode. I think what we're really trying to encourage in this one is that you really probably should be talking to elders and pastors about your online involvement and getting good counsel and wisdom from them. That's really all the time we have, guys. I appreciate the discussion and we appreciate all our listeners tuning in. If you'd like to hear more about us, go over to 3gt.xyz on the internet and you can see our website and learn more about us, listen to older episodes. You can also give if you're so inclined. We always love to receive email from you. If you have comments, suggestions, topics you'd like us to discuss, we would receive those gladly over at 3gt.xyz@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of Three Guys Theologizing.